This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace.
Last year, I went through many different life changes. I needed to take a pause and examine how I was feeling in the inside to better show up for the ones who need me to be my best version of myself.
When you're navigating life's changes, Talkspace can help. Talkspace is the number one rated online therapy, bringing you professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatry providers that you can access anytime, anywhere.
Living a busy life, navigating a long-distance relationship, becoming a first-step father, Talkspace made all of those journeys possible. I could speak with my therapist in the office. I could speak with my therapist in the comfort of my home. I was never alone.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance, no problem. Now get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
What up, y'all? Welcome back to another episode of The Bar. I'm Nisha.
And I'm Tempe.
And today we are so excited. Per usual, we're always excited to come and, you know, share our thoughts and opinions with you guys. But today we're super excited because we have a really fun episode plan. So we have The Bar for Traveling While Black. That is our main topic of today. And this, you know, as usual, comes up from just our life and things that happen in our life and things we see online. And so we're really excited to talk about that. But before we get into that, we are going to talk about this week's media moment, which is The Secret Lives of Mormon Wives. I'm actually surprised I actually remember that's what it's called because I just call it Mom Talk. And we have been debriefing this for about a week now because it's just so much to unpack. I don't even know where to start. Where do we start? There's so much to unpack.
There really is. I too am very proud of you for remembering the name of the show because I honestly couldn't remember it for a second there. But I feel like we have to start at the end.
Ooh. Yeah. Spoiler alert, I guess, but yeah. Fast forward if you haven't seen it.
Because everything comes to a head in like the last like two or three episodes.
Yeah.
And I feel like the biggest takeaway that I had from this season, which I think you said very well, is we really got an inside look to their actual relationships between each other and ways in which we didn't see as much in season one. Mm-hmm. And what we really see in these last few episodes is the cracks in true friendships and the lack thereof of true friendship.
Yes.
And I think that it was surprising because I thought that the whole reason why these women came together initially was because they did have friendships, but now we see many of them don't have friendships with each other, and it's clearly a means to just drive revenue and engagement on the internet.
Absolutely. I agree 100%. I think at the beginning of the season, you saw like your little alliances. You know, I think the only one that actually stayed true was Macy and Michaela. But it was very, very clear that most of the Demi and Jesse business relationship, Taylor and everybody business relationship, Whitney on the outskirts clinging the whole time business relationship, Miranda trying to get in because she wanted to eat off of them. And then when they kept saying like, oh, for clout, it's like, well, who of y'all are actually real friends? And it makes me think about our episode that we did, you know, The Bar for Female Friendship, and some of those themes we talked about there. Like, there is no real themes of friendship. It's kind of like they throw an event, they show up. If you don't show up to the event, you're a bad quote unquote friend, aka business partner, because you're supposed to show up to this event because we're supposed to be Mom Talk, like incorporated, and you're not showing up for me for my thing. So then I'm not going to do it to you, and so on and so on.
Yeah. And it reminds me of just like a much more, I guess, direct example of what we all have seen become of housewives in the last few years.
Yes.
And that we knew that housewives in the early years, the women either knew each other in a way of being in each other's social circles or were actually good friends. Mm-hmm. Whereas the years have past and like recent years, many of these women don't know each other and they pretend to have met each other in outside of filming situations when in reality, like sometimes that's their first time meeting a bitch. And
Absolutely.
so, and I'm not saying this to say that I do not like this season. I thought the season was fabulous. I thought it
Yeah.
was some of the best reality TV that is on right now. But it was just like really surprising to see how much they're not close.
And if you think about it too, one of the reasons everyone says it's so good is because like they really be laying it all out there, that there's not many of them that aren't talking about the things, whatever those things may be. And now looking at that lens of like they know this is their money maker, like you're over here telling me you make in a month what your husband makes in a year. Of course you're gonna come to the show and lay it out on the table, which, you know, that's great for us, entertaining for us as viewers. But then it kind of is like, you know, as the drama kicked up, it was sort of we're talking at surface level, but there's something deeper here when it comes to like, you know, the whole Demi wanting Taylor out and how it was like affecting the quote unquote brand, like not the friendship, but more so the brand, or, you know, Taylor being like, oh, you trying to come for me? I'm motherfucking queen bee. Like you wouldn't even be here with this group if it wasn't for me. Or even like I can't get out of my head that scene at the table where Macy said she had the book deal and Demi's looking like straight face. Like I can't get that out of my head because I'm like, that's not how a friend would react.
Absolutely, especially because I think Macy and Michaela are definitely very, very close. But I
Yes.
also think both Macy and Michaela approach every relationship in that group of women as them trying to actually cultivate a friendship. And I think that that's why it was so hurtful to watch. How do you say her name? Is it Demi? I say Demi.
Demi.
Oh, Demi.
She says Demi.
Oh, okay. My bad. Demi. I feel like that was so hurtful to Macy because she was like, wait a minute, like you, I thought me and you were good. I thought like we were friends. And
Girl.
I think, like you said, the underlying issues that were really coming up was like jealousy, willing to, you know, erode trust with each other, eroding trust with each other's families. Like it's just like, it's just wild and it's so harmful how, like you said, they would come and they wouldn't just lay any old thing out. They were laying out things that could ruin their families and their reputations. And I get that many of them have already had those experiences before the show aired, such as Taylor. So, I mean, even Macy, like, you know, her whole life was really challenging and they all have these challenging things, but it's also like, wow, y'all don't give a damn.
And honestly, I feel like some of this, I still stand by the fact, I think some of this did not come to light because from what I remember season one being, Taylor was a little bit more subdued because she was pregnant, because she was going through the first rounds with Dakota. Like Whitney was the quote unquote villain. Demi came in to hold her feet to the fire. The rest of them were kind of just there. And then, you know, I feel like this season, Taylor was really trying to be like, okay, well, this is actually my show, so let me make it my show. Like, we're gonna talk about I'm a, you know, come up with why I'm mad at Dakota, because I still am on the fence about that whole thing. Cause it was like, girl, y'all weren't together. And then I'm gonna drag it out for the whole season. I wanna confront him publicly. I'm gonna have these scenes with my mom. Like Taylor got a lot more screen airtime. And I feel like had she not got pregnant last season, I almost felt like she was trying to make up for lost time, is how I took it. Down
That's a
to
good
like
point.
coming for Demi.
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace.
Last year, I went through many different life changes. I needed to take a pause and examine how I was feeling in the inside to better show up for the ones who need me to be my best version of myself.
When you're navigating life's changes, Talkspace can help. Talkspace is the number one rated online therapy, bringing you professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatry providers that you can access anytime, anywhere.
Living a busy life, navigating a long-distance relationship, becoming a first stepfather, Talkspace made all of those journeys possible. I could speak with my therapist in the office. I could speak with my therapist in the comfort of my home. I was never alone.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance, no problem. Now get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Either way she did, send her mama to that party. Like, she was, that girl was pulling strings. The whole CMA thing, like, she was really making sure, like, y'all talking about me every episode this season.
Yep, that's very true. I didn't think about that. I also think to really highlight what you said about Taylor and the Dakota thing. I saw people talking online about how, like, Taylor shouldn't have had to defend herself at the table with her family. I'm going to say a hot take here. Her stepdaddy called a spade a motherfucking spade. Sometimes you need a man in your life that loves you down, because he loves her down. He is her biological daddy, and he take care of her ass.
Yeah.
But he needed to look you in your face and be like, well, bitch, she was putting out. So why wouldn't he show up? What are we talking about? Like,
right.
And sometimes you need the opposite sex to check you, to remind you of how the opposite sex thinks.
Mm-hmm.
And people online were in an uproar about how her brother, her stepdad, her mom were not supporting of her.
Yeah.
Why are we supporting Taylor's bullshit reasoning for literally kicking Dakota out when they weren't together? And, like, mm-hmm. let's be real here. Like, the relationship actually began off of the strength of, like, the baby. It wasn't because y'all actually was, like, really trying to be serious with each other. So you're turning into this ball of chaos and, like, acting like he's the worst person in the world when, like, both of y'all
biting her the edges of her nails. She'd be like tearing that shit up. Do you notice that?
No, but girl, I'm not surprised.
Biting the meat on the side of her fingers, and it really drives me crazy. That just makes me think of that ball of chaos.
Is she's literally a ball of chaos? And, like, that's the one thing I would give Demi, is that she called that out, and that, like, this woman is chaotic, and now she's directing that chaos towards us, which is, like, ruining our engagement online. And she doesn't care, and she's not apologetic.
Yeah,
that's a fact. Wasn't. She's like this.
Really hold her feet to the fire to be apologetic. I definitely see where you're coming from with her dad thing. I think that scene bothered me because I didn't like how, you know, at the end of the day, she gets to make a decision about what she wants for her life, however crazy it is. I quote unquote support women's rights and wrongs. But I didn't like how they were like, oh, just give him another chance, and you need to give him a chance. And it's like, why does she need to give him a chance? Because, again, I'm always see Dakota as a crackhead.
Absolutely, he's a crackhead.
I wasn't pro her getting back with him. I wasn't pro with her getting pregnant again with the miscarriage season one. I was like, girl, why are you doing this? So it's kind of like, if you're finally separating, because I think they're both chaotic. I mean, just from the sake outside of, like, entertainment value, like, do kids need to be around people acting like that? Probably not. So I think y'all shouldn't be together. So I think I just felt like her family's, like, ganging up on her. But I will say, to your point, her dad is not wrong. If you was the night girl and he came over at night, I've been that girl. You know what it is.
Right. Like, it's like, I think that the reason why I was like, he's calling a spade, because I think he was fed up listening to this whole woe is me, I'm the victim in the situation, where he's like, you did wrong too. Like, you're over here acting like Dakota did all this when you was doing whatever you was doing. You was two immature, toxic people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I can't get down with, I mean, you already know, I don't really fuck with Taylor. Like, this whole season, I was like, we're all ignoring what she did to Miranda and acting like Miranda's crazy for being uncomfortable with the fact that Taylor outed her. And the thing that stands out to me about that, Miranda tried to work on her marriage. Taylor was in the midst of a separation and getting divorced, and she felt like it was okay to, like, ruin other people's marriages. Like, that to me means you were the bad friend, Taylor. Like, you're trying to act like Miranda was this really bad friend because she didn't come online and say, yeah, you're right. Like, no, she's being blindsided by her alleged best friend that she had no agreement to come online and say these things.
Yeah.
And I will die on the hill that Taylor wants to be seen as this very, like, moral compass when it comes to truth. When she's been proven to lie, and in that situation, she exaggerated the truth and omitted specifics about the truth to paint a picture that they were having sex as swingers versus what was actually happening, which Miranda described and Taylor agreed with. But nobody's talking about that online. They're all just being
You're
like,
right.
whatever. Where it's like, are we not going to call Taylor out for insinuating that people were having sex?
She definitely was insinuating that, and I feel like she did not get called out for that anywhere. And that is even more damaging. Like, to be like, oh, we were swinging and hooking up, aka kissing. That's, I mean, whatever. But to say y'all was fucking each other's husbands, that's a bigger story there, especially in the Mormon community, I would assume. So.
And then this is like crazy also because like they're young.
They're so young. Girl, it's too much to unpack. We honestly could do a whole episode. Like, I can't even, we can't even. We haven't even got to the whole Layla or Jesse of it all, but I don't know. It's so much. But we will be revisiting this topic because part two or the reunion or something, like, what is it? We don't even know. Is it like season three? Is it
Right.
whatever the
It
hell it
seems
is,
like we're
we'll
going
be
to get
coming
two
back.
things. We're going to get a reunion and we're going to get another part of the season because of what they're showing that is unpacked about Jesse.
Right.
Because that was footage.
That was footage.
That wasn't
Her
just like,
husband was crying.
yeah, her husband going through it.
I can't
June.
wait.
Well, I'll end by saying also, Jen's a liar and she needs to divorce that man. But I'm gonna move on and say,
So much to unpack.
I'm gonna move on and say that hopefully we will get the part two soon or whatever they're gonna call it in the reunion soon so we can bring it back to another episode. But
Yes.
we're now going to transition into our main topic this week, which is the bar for traveling while black. And I would like to say that if you think that this is going to be a conversation that's similar to what you see online about don't go to Spain,
Oh,
don't
no.
go to Italy, niggas, we know that. We not going to talk about the same shit. Niggas know where they can and cannot go. We be in light and fun shit.
But can I also say, I have been to Spain and I would like to go to Italy. And I actually had a great time. And I think that's part of like the bar for traveling while black because, you know, we always gonna stand out. We black Americans at that. Like wherever we go, we're gonna stand out. People are gonna notice us. We're gonna be dressed for the most part. And people are gonna think we're American celebrities because that's just what they assume. However, I do feel like, you know, bad things do happen. I feel like people who are more traveled usually have less things happen, or they know how to navigate some of those things a little bit better. Case in point, before we went to Cartagena, I kept seeing, of course, because, you know, the phone listens to you, these videos of like these girls that said they almost got kidnapped and they almost got in these yellow cabs and they were going to get trafficked and XYZ. And, you know, we were more aware when we went, but we were like a big group, mostly black women and two black guys. And we never felt unsafe. We never had any of those incidences, but all of us in that group, we travel a lot. And I could see how you could travel somewhere and not realize that, like, you do, like, you're in a country where there are black people, but you still stand out because you are a black American. There's pros and cons. I will say the pros is that people assume, for the most part, from my perspective, for the most part, people assume because you are American, you have money. And then you being black, of course, there's, you know, racist things that happen. But I feel like they're more like, my experience has been they're very enamored with us because we are black Americans. And, you know, they see rap and the media and black culture that we know influences everybody. So I honestly feel okay almost traveling almost everywhere. Like there are places, of course, I wouldn't go. I'm good on Russia. I'm good on North Korea. I'm good on any Muslim country where I have to cover up because if I'm on vacation, I'm trying to have one. I'm trying to have a leg and an arm out. But I don't know. I really have had all good experiences traveling while black. Not to say that I couldn't, it could go bad somewhere, of course, but I just felt like that history of like that knowledge and awareness of traveling, it helps out a lot to, reduce bad experiences.
I agree. And I feel like when you know, like when you catch a vibe, you be like, deuces. You figure out what's going down, you leave. I also think a big part of traveling while black is, going with a group of people that are on the same page as you. I would like to dispel this.
Absolutely.
I feel like there's just this narrative that had happened to be online, I would say for the last few years, especially on like social media platforms where people tell stories, whether it's like Twitter or where there's long video forms like YouTube, where people say like their horror story in Miami with some girls or their horror story going out of the country with these friends. And I think that those things have gone viral specifically for black female trips.
Yes, definitely.
And I'm not dismissing someone's experience. Like, if that happened to you, I'm very sorry. But I think that too many people think that that's more people's experience than it is. I think that similar to what we've talked about with friendship, specifically, I would say with black friendship is a lot more cognizant of who their friends are and making decisions about the type of people that they can and cannot travel with and the types of trips that they are on.
Girl, you better say that. You cannot travel with everybody at all.
And even if there's a different vibe for different trips, you still know what you're getting, and you don't go into a situation thinking, I'm going this trip with this person that I constantly have issues with while we're just hanging out at home. That's
Girl.
just like not the commonality.
Or that you don't know at all, that you've never spent one-on-one time with. I would never go on a trip. Actually, let me take that back because I am going on a trip with my auntie and her friends, but they're in their 60s.
And that's family.
Yeah, I mean, just her. I know her and her two best, well, her one best friend, but anyway, just friends. I would never go on a trip. Like one of my friends has asked me several times now. I don't think they listen to this, but they've asked me to go on a trip several times. And I'm thinking, like, we barely hang out in Atlanta. Like, why would I pack up my shit, go across the country or out of the country with you? I don't know how you sleep. I don't know how you eat. I don't know how you tip. I really don't even know. I know you're not timely, but other than that, that's just a recipe for disaster. I mean, even traveling with like a significant other, I always said that first trip, you really learn a lot about that person because you're spending like so much time together, just the two of you, let alone like a friend.
That's a fact. And I think to your point, traveling with people is a canon event.
Definitely.
And if that canon event involves you figuring out the things that you listed, you are in for Russian roulette, bitch, because you. Like key things. I don't know how you tip. I don't know how you sleep.
Woof.
I just want to say, would like to be in the tax bracket where wherever I go, I get my own room now. But that's not real. That's not
Girl.
realistic. It's also just not necessary, right?
It's nice though. I have my own room in Cartagena
That's nice.
because we had an odd number. It was very nice. I had lots of peace. I slept how I wanted. The air was as cold as I wanted. It was actually great.
That's beautiful.
I recommend.
Listen, I would love it, but it doesn't, that's not my tax bracket. And so I feel like if I'm sharing a room with you, I just want to bring us back to the trip you recently took with your family. I don't have time to think it's bedtime and you think it's not bedtime.
Girl.
I don't give a damn. We are not at the age where we up all night. This is not that. I need some rest. And if you're up, kikiing, lights on, or if you're fucking snoring,
Oh God.
I would like preparation. I don't want to find out in the moment.
But can I say, I feel like I try to be as, tolerable as roommate as I possibly can. For example, when I was in LA, I get up early now just because of my internal clock. I hate it, but I do. And my roommate for that trip is a late sleeper. So, like, I came out into the living room to, like, do my daily voice note updates. And she did hear me, and I felt bad about it because I didn't know. And I woke her up, and she was like, "Are you on the phone?" I was like, "No, I'm sending voice notes." So I was like, "Oops, I tried," but we're in a small space. So, that's, but then the next day, obviously, I didn't do that. But there are people who do things to your point, like, you snore, I'm sleeping, you were playing blasting music to get
Yeah.
ready. You know that I don't fucking know. I don't like it warm and you have it hot as hell, my mom, in the room. Like, that's just rude. Like, there's always a middle ground.
Yes. Can
We're there's
we meet in the
always
middle?
like,
Yes. I have to agree that, well, it's not even agree. If I'm hot, no one's having a good time. I'm not having a good time. No one around me is having a good time. I'm sucking all the air out of the room because I'm angry. I'm literally being hot is one of my least favorite things. But also, like you said, like I feel like everyone puts their best foot forward as a roommate, even if it's someone that you've spent hella time with and you care deeply about them.
Yeah.
You make sure you do that. And I would like to also bring up the tip thing.
Yeah.
Nothing makes me more uncomfortable than being with people that severely under tip. I get very uncomfortable because I feel like we have such a huge tipping culture in our country. And
We
if we're
do.
in our country and you are under tipping, I am confused because this is just the state of the way things are. I'm like, you're altering our experience because now the service that we just received could greatly change in the next few minutes, as well as if we come back here, like, what's going to happen?
Well, and girl, let's not forget that does reflect poorly on us. I mean, I don't know anyone who doesn't tip, but I know of the types of people who probably don't tip. And I think that stereotype, unfortunately, as that is an example of what the white people like to say, one bad apple spoils the bunch. Because that they apply that to them in police, but not to us. But that, I really hate that. Just anything that I find embarrassing, like traveling with people and you do things that are embarrassing, it's a reflection on me. Now I'm looped in with you. I don't like that shit.
Yeah, I don't like that
Like,
either.
I don't like that.
I would like to not be connected with any sort of tomfoolery. I don't want to be. I don't wanna be anything other than what I've been trying to be lately.
Lele.
But I think that at this point, I might start just leaving. Not like leaving the place entirely, but like I'm not catching a
Mean, you
flight,
could.
but I might just start getting up from dinner tables and walking outside
Oh, yeah. You could
because you
definitely do that.
might need to take a break.
Sometimes you do. I mean, I will say most of the people I travel with, we do like to travel in a similar way. And this is something that I notice very different than my white coworkers. They travel, they like to be in nature. They don't bring any outfits. Very plain. I don't ever hear them talk about the nightlife. Like, I like to do I like fine dining. I like a happy hour. I like to get drunk. I like to do a cultural moment, museum, a tour, if you will. I like to go out at night. I like to have a different parts of the trip, and it might not all be on the same day. Different days might have different things. I feel like most Black people that I know, something in that wheelhouse happens. And of course, there are Black people, of course, who they do like the nature thing and they do like a hike or whatever. Some of my friends, they did hike when we went to South Africa. But the white people I know, they don't do anything. They just sit around.
I think that what it also is that they're not experiencing the place that they're at
They're
for what
not.
it is. Like they're
They're
going there and
not.
they're doing like the same things that they would do
Yes, that's what it
at
is.
home there, which
That's what it
all the
is.
things that you are talking about are ways in which you can experience a place and its
Yes.
varied opportunities and experiences.
That
So
is a great point.
I think that's the biggest difference. And I think that that's an important thing that does distinguish traveling while Black because we gonna get our money's worth.
We want to experience the place, experience the culture, get our money's worth. And I mean, I guess when you just have like a level of privilege, nothing is impressive to you. So why
Or you
experience
just
it?
don't see it.
Or you just don't see it. And it's like, huh?
Yeah, like
Okay.
what you see is not the same thing that we see. I don't know how to describe it. Like, I feel like there's beauty in everywhere that you can go.
Absolutely. But they will be on a nature tour now. They will, I will say, if I go on a boat to some random island, they're gonna be there. But if you go on like a tour, for example, we did the tour in Soweto, which is where Nelson Mandela and Desmond Tutu were born. There was one white person on that tour. Everybody else was Black, and you know me, girl. I was like, so how does this make you feel as a white person? Because I mean, he was with a Black girl. I was just curious because, you know, they're
Yeah.
talking about the atrocities of your people to these Black people.
No, I want to know too, because if it don't make you feel nothing, you must not understand what's being said.
Right.
But
Absolutely.
they like nature because they don't like people. They love an animal, they love a plant, but they don't want to immerse themselves in human culture. They want to
Yeah.
immerse themselves in nature.
Were there even any white people when we did that Gullah tour? I don't remember if there were white people on that tour. I feel like there weren't.
I do not recall there being a white person on the
I
tour.
remember because I remember getting off and looking at the house, and maybe there might have
Honestly,
been like one or two, if that.
yeah,
But
I don't remember.
I don't think there was.
I don't
I'm
think
just
there
thinking about
was.
this, just like who does what and goes where, but I don't know.
I
That is interesting
mean,
talking about that.
I think that they wouldn't go because they don't see that
Yeah.
culture because it's human culture and it's like, well, who cares?
Yeah, I would love to see a study, a breakdown of white and Black tourism and the activities that are done at both. And I will say, obviously, white people, we know cruises, resorts, they sitting ass on there, they eating American food. They literally are doing nothing. And I feel like even when Black people do go to resorts, I think we're more likely to do excursions. Like I always hear about Black people doing like 18-wheelers or zip lining, like very commonly. I think it's more like the men do that sort of thing. But again, to your point of immersing yourself in whatever is going on in that culture.
Yeah, I mean, I don't really be around white people. I don't follow a lot of white people on social media that are like
Oh, I love that.
normal people. Like, if I follow a white person, it's probably someone that I went to high school with that isn't insufferable and they barely post, or someone that I've known from adulthood that also barely post. And then a famous person that's white that is actually, I don't know who I follow that's white. Well, maybe like a white influencer like Wishbone Kitchen. But I don't, to that point, I'm making, for bringing that up, I'm saying like, I don't know what they do.
Love that for you. I think
I
I
have
know from
removed
work.
myself.
I know from work Work is really my only interactions, like interpersonal.
Okay. I removed myself greatly from the white life.
I love
Honestly, it's to protect my peace as well as to protect everybody else
decenter
because,
whiteness, just like we decenter men, decenter whiteness. The thought of like a white man taking me on a trip to a place that potentially is like a hut or a shack, because they also like to rough it. They like to rough it, camping and stuff. They like to rough it.
Because they want to be near animals. They want to be one with the animals.
They do, but they also have too much privilege, and they're also searching for to feel something. Or like
That's true.
when they hike those really high peaks, like where you have no oxygen, you could die. Like they do daredevil type. That's why we don't see them. That's why I don't see them, because they're doing the extreme. They are with the sharks. They are jumping off of the highest points of things. They are in the woods, in the wilderness. That's why I don't see them doing the things I do.
And if one more Mount Everest motherfucking video comes up on my TikTok feed with a nigga at the top talking about some I made it, I'm thinking, well, you're dead. How am I seeing this video? Because it's a graveyard up there. Why do y'all keep going?
Girl,
Why do they keep going?
no desire whatsoever. No desire to do that. I don't have no desire to free dive the deepest point of nothing, swimming with whales. And I like an animal encounter. We went to Mexico, a sea turtle touched my leg. A whale, that's a no for me.
I respect and fear the ocean, so I think that tells everyone my opinion of those experiences. I will remain on the boat.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Another piece of traveling while black that you brought up that's really fun are the outfits.
Oh yes. I'm putting that
Love.
shit on every time.
Love planning an outfit. I love planning the makeup. You just want it to like go with the vibe. You just want to feel good. You when you
Girl.
look good, you feel good. That's another thing white people don't know because they don't ever look good. You know, like they well, I'm gonna take that back because there's one white woman. There's one white woman I do think looked good recently. I don't know if you've seen Miss Debbie on TikTok, and she is a huge fan of Beyonce, and Beyonce actually said her name twice.
Oh, no.
I'm gonna give it to Miss Debbie because Miss
Please send me
Debbie,
that.
yeah, I send it to you. But anyway, yeah, I feel like they don't. I mean, we know they don't smell good. That's another part. I'm going on a tangent, but I don't know if you've been on the side of TikTok where they've been talking about not bathing their kids, and they've been white women that coming on there talking about
Seen
some, if
that
you don't
girl.
bathe your kids, you a problem. I'm like, yes, white women, stand the fuck up because I need to know that y'all bathing them babies. Maybe you're not bathing your ass, but you're bathing your baby's ass.
If you know what I've noticed, I would have noticed that if I smell a pleasantly smelling white woman, it's her hair that smells good. It's not perfume, it's not lotions, it's not oils. Because I don't know, you probably, I don't even know if I sent this to you because you would have been pissed off. This white lady on Instagram was like, things I learned about having a black son, his skin is sucks up moisture more than mine. It's like, and everyone's going in like, no, girl, you just can't see the ash on your white skin. When I tell you this baby, he was chocolate, his skin was white. His skin was white to the point where it's like, why is he that ashy? That makes no sense. Why are you putting lotion on his ash? And he has those swim trunks. And then she's in the comments like, he was swimming and he's gonna go back in the pool.
This is why they should not be allowed to adopt us. They should not be allowed to procreate with us. You don't understand. What do you mean the
Girl.
baby is
And then
going
they
back
wanna.
in the pool? Is the pool the bath?
Girl, and then they want to argue with you in the comments. It's like, I don't care about you. And if you think you're a good mom or not, if you think I'm calling you a bad mom, I care about that child. This is information because you clearly don't know one black person.
Yeah, you
Just like if
stupid
I
man.
adopted a white person, I would be asking my white coworkers, what do I do with this hair? How do I remove lice? I wouldn't know. I would have to ask for help. And if the Instagram told me, I would listen. I wouldn't be defensive, but they want to be defensive so bad. It's crazy.
I think it'd be quite easy to take care of a white child when it comes to grooming. They wash their hair and it just dries.
I think it would be easy too. You wouldn't have to style it at all. You just brush it.
And they don't look like they need much. They don't need lotions and potions. You just need to you need to spray them down with a little oil sheen.
They should. If the lotion was just for us, there would be no lotion. There's a whole lotion industry. There's a whole
But
industry of oils. Everybody should be lotion moisturizing their skin. But again, that's why black don't crack. That's why our skin looks the way it does. It is, okay, we are totally off the topic.
we are really off topic.
We're so off topic. Oh, we need to add it back into self-care, part two, skincare.
And a white bitch will be on Instagram showing you their full face skincare routine, then show you their body care routine, and they only put in a little bit of oil in their arms when they in the towel. What about the rest of your body?
Girl,
Sorry, I just had to say that. I know we back to the
you're
point.
not lying. You're not lying. But I do want to bring up one other thing on the Traveling While Black. So this happened, and you were there. I don't know if you remember it. I'm sure you do because your memory is better than mine. But when we were in Banff, and we were minding our black business, and it reminds me of that TikTok. When you're black, you're never really lonely. Literally, like I wish TikTok was there. Then I wish we recorded this. Because there were these Chinese tourists, I'm assuming they're Chinese. Baby, you would have thought we, at the time, I remember thinking, like, oh, they must think we're famous. Girl, it's giving zoo, it's giving
Yep.
animals. The way they was, I mean, the lady had the camera with the long lens camera taking pictures. And I just remember one of my friends just posing and, like, oh, send me that picture. And I was like, this is actually problematic, but. I was too wrapped up in other things, but looking back, I feel like that is a very, like, I'm not gonna say unique to black people because I know that happens to white people when they go to places that where they don't, there's no white people there on average. But that happens a lot when you're traveling while black. And I think, again, to your point earlier, we are dressed down, hair is laid, smelling good. Like, it does give celebrity, but also gives, like, this is not a human. This is how they act, is really what it is.
Like they're like in awe of us.
But to the point where it's like you're not recognizing our humanity, like we are still people. And that has happened. Banff was the one where it was really crazy, but that's happened to me, of course, in China because they only see each other, Asian, other Asians for the most part. Although here's there's more diversity now, but I don't know. And just like being out and like even when I went to Toronto and the people were like coming up just like, what, you're American? Like, what, you're, it's just like, how do y'all know? How do y'all know we black American? Like, how, why don't you ever assume we anything else?
Maybe it's because they've seen people from other countries and they see the differences in our style. Because one thing a British black girl look like, it is not like us.
That is a
They
good point.
dress very different, their makeup is very different.
That's a good point, actually.
So that could be it. But that's
Yeah.
really true. Like I remember even when we was in Charleston, every restaurant that we walked in, people were looking at us like, well, who these bitches? Like when we walked into the one for dinner the first night, there was like only white people and they were staring at us. And then we went to dinner the following night with the Oasis place. There was like n the white women were staring.
Yeah.
And
And one thing about me, I don't like spending my money in white businesses. I do prefer to pour my money back into where, people who look like me, but I'm gonna go wherever the fuck I want to go
right.
every time. If I look it up and it looks cute and it's giving vibes, I'm gonna be there. And I dare you to say something to me. So I'm gonna politely eat your ass up, just like we were walking down the street in Charleston, and that white man, he says something to me about Chirac. And I said, I don't know if you're saying that to me because I'm black and you think I'm from the hood. I have more money than you now. I was raised with more money than you. And you're walking down this street with the fucking hardest Safidi neck, stone on your neck because he had this Hawaiian coral thing. Like, I ate his ass the fuck up. Like, don't
You
play with me.
did, and he
Do
had
not.
nothing to say.
And laughed in his face, and his little girlfriend was laughing in his face too. Don't get me, and when I'm drinking, don't get me started. That's what you don't want to do, because I will never stop.
Yeah.
I will never stop. I welcome the conflict at that point. So,
Yes. Yes, you do.
I love that shit. So, I'm gonna go wherever the fuck I want to go as a black person. I don't give a damn
Right.
where we are.
I have never, if I will say, there was only one time when I was young when it was a family trip that we were on with my sister, my mom, and my mom's brother, my uncle, when he was taking us to different colleges. And I remember there being a very tense, unsafe situation in Alabama. That's the only time. And I think it was Alabama. I would have to check with my mom, who would probably remember better. That's the only time I've ever felt like, okay, we're not in a safe space where like our lives could be in jeopardy, because they were uncomfortable. And so, and of course I was a child, but as an adult, I feel like I've never put myself in a position to be someplace where there's a potential for that. Like, don't get me wrong, like I definitely would love to see certain things in our country that are very important to our history, but like you also have to be cognizant of like there's still sundown towns, there's still
That's facts.
people being fucking lynched just differently. Like, I'm not gonna put myself in a situation like that. And the situation I put myself in, I have a right to be here. And if you don't let me be here, we're gonna have a different problem.
That's a really good point. Now, to your point, I don't really go to places that aren't cities. Like, even if it's a small city, I think cities tend to congregate a little bit more diversity. I'm not ever gonna fly to, girl, I'm making this up, Kitchitum, South Dakota. I just made that up. I don't even know.
Not Kitchitum. My husband recently told me that when he looked up something about South Dakota, he was like, yeah, I wanted to see if it was as bad as I thought. And he was like, it's real bad there. It's like really poor. And like, to your point, like, why would I go to a place where people are statistically going to be less tolerable to people that are different than them because they're impoverished and have low education?
Girl, and then I come the fuck up in there with my designer bag and my hair down my back, speaking the King's English. You gonna have a problem, and then you gonna want to take me out.
They gonna be like, what's the word you use?
You get to see me on TV and Instagram. That's all where you get to see me.
I'm dead.
I am a figment of your, I'm an enigma. I'm an enigma to your white ass. And let that be that.
I feel like it's different than going to another country that is more impoverished and there is a lack of education, because those people are actually intelligent and they have a tolerance and
Girl.
appreciation for learning about others and have learned through their experiences, unlike these motherfuckers in America that don't learn from nothing.
Oh, and let's not forget, they think they're supposed to have what I have. You think because you're white and I'm uppity because I'm not supposed to have this. I'm supposed to be living like you or less than you. So that's why it makes it even more dangerous to your point about those sundown towns. There was a whole discourse on TikTok about some Chris Kendall market, Christmas market in Alabama. And the white woman's like, oh, come to the Chris Kendall market. It's so beautiful. We have this, we have that, all these little country things they have. This black lady ain't gonna say, that's a sundown town. Stay your ass away. Do you know these white people came on there and tried to say, I've never seen anything happen. I lived here my whole life. Why would you? Why would you see anything? What black people do you know?
They don't come there.
Like, what are you talking about?
Y'all
And how you gonna tell,
eradicated them.
and you trying to lure me here? Let me know you trying to kill me. That's all that tells me.
It's giving get out.
It's giving, get out. Talking about, it's beautiful here. It's lovely here. I'm a white gay man and I never felt unsafe. But are you black? Is
I
your
can't.
skin brown?
I'm not going to even, because that always takes me to a place is when a gay
Open up a can of
man that ain't
worms.
black equates their experience to black. Oh,
Girl. But TikTok is just it's a gift and a curse.
it really is. It does open my eyes to places that I'm like, huh, I really would want to go there. A place that I actually recently saw was Monterey, California, where they filmed Big Little Lies, which is like that very picturesque, like ocean.
Oh, that sounds beautiful.
What is the word I'm looking for when you are
Like
on?
the coastline, or
Yes.
like,
It's a coastal town, but it's also very mountainous in a sense. And so
Sounds pretty.
it's really pretty. And I
Probably
also have,
seafood.
oh, yes, I've also always wanted to go to the Pacific Northwest.
Girl, me too. I was supposed to do that during stupid COVID. I literally had a trip booked and everything, and then COVID happened.
Damn, I didn't realize that.
Yeah, I wanted to do a Vancouver road trip from Seattle. It's like 2 hours, I
Ooh.
think. But yeah, to your point, traveling, I just love to travel. And also COVID made me travel, want to travel more, because like that time period of like feeling trapped. And I mean, I remember being like, what if we could never travel again to the extent that we could, like when they were shutting borders down? That was scary to me. So I feel like I've been really taking advantage ever since. And I love that for
Yeah.
me.
Yeah. It's one of the best opportunities in life. It's like if you have the privilege to travel and you do, it is so fulfilling. It's so joyful,
It
especially if you
is.
do it right.
Yeah. That is the bar for traveling while black, amongst many other things that we touched on, because that's what we like to do. We like to talk about stuff. We like to yap. Y'all
Yeah,
know what y'all
yeah.
here for, a yap session. And I gotta close us out with this week's QTNA. This is from one of my friends, and I don't know how this even came up. I wrote it down. I couldn't tell you how this came up. But the question is, would you be okay wearing a bag wig for a soft life? And this is regarding the hard wig, soft life movement. Which, if you are, as they say, chronically online, you have seen this. And it is the black women with the wigs are crazy. The wigs are stiff. They are coming off their head. They are sitting on their head like hats. And they be with rich, wealthy, tends to be, from what I've seen, white men. I've seen a couple of others, like POC type people, but they live in luxury. They're wearing Hermes, they're shopping, in private salons. They have horses. They play tennis. They don't work, and they got a hard ass, stiff ass wig sitting on top of their head.
This is a really challenging topic for me. Because I would never date outside of my race. And so that's what you would have to do to
That's
have
not what
the
I
soft
thought you were about to
life.
say. I thought you were gonna say your hair would. I thought you were about to say your hair would never be fucked up.
Well, to that other point that you're making,
Oh God.
I've never worn a wig. If I was one to wear a wig, I would be really upset if it was like these wigs. Like these wigs are. These are literally hard hats. Like they're gross.
Girl.
They look like they get them literally off of the cheapest. They're worse than Amazon because Amazon wigs be hitting from what I've been seeing.
Let me tell you something. If I knew wearing a hard, stiff wig was going to guarantee me a multimillionaire, I will wear it. I will wear it. I
And
will
that.
wear it, and I will be smiling. I would just look at myself in the mirror and just cancel out anything above my head to get through the day.
I respect it. I
And
li
I'll be
listen.
spending that man's money up.
I just would never. The biggest thing that I see about this is that you, like you said, the soft life has been equated to for these type of women to be with a white man or a non-black man, and I'm like,
It has been.
because the women that are online, like Chauncey, that's who I want to be. Hi, my name is.
Oh.
Hi, my name is Daniel, and I cook and clean. Hi, I'm Chauncey. That's what I want to be.
No, I love them.
Oh, she is so pretty.
Yeah, she is. No, I definitely agree. I mean, I love that there is a representation of the black and black on black, black love, soft life as well. And those women don't have hard wigs.
They don't. There was one woman,
Exactly.
she was talking about how whenever she's out, women that are in their 60s or above that are white always mean mug her because of her wedding, mean her engagement ring, because her engagement ring is like really nice. It's one of the
Damn.
new styles where there's two stones,
I've seen that.
and the stones are huge. And she was talking about it. She is gorgeous, hair is pressed, laid, colored. And you know what she said? She was like, I bet you that they're me mugging, thinking, oh, what white man gave her that ring, or what rapper or baller gave her that ring. And little do they know, none of the above. It is a black man. And I was like, that's it, girl.
Girl, that's a fact. One of my friend's fiance's homeboy, he does consulting. And they was living in a multi-million dollar mansion because I looked that shit up on Zillow. And he's with a black woman. She looks a little, she might be a slightly other. She might be, I don't know if she's biracial, but she looks black. But you pull up, they had several Teslas in the yard, which, pre-Elon going crazy, that was a status symbol. Beautiful multi-million dollar home, beautiful landscape backyard. And these people were in their, at the time, early 30s. And he was black. And he
Love it.
married her. So I mean, I definitely see in Atlanta people just like, I guess that's considered 9 to 5. Is a consultant considered 9 to 5?
I guess it depends on like who you're consulting. Like,
Oh, okay.
I feel like maybe you could, you might have a different schedule depending on the.
Girl, and this other girl I know, which they're a Spellman Morehouse couple, and again, very live a very lavish, fabulous lifestyle. Black couple, black young couple, regular job. So, I mean, that would definitely annoy me too. Like, if people are looking at me assuming one thing, it's like there are black people who really just get into the fucking money outside of entertainment and outside of sports.
Exactly. So
There are.
there is no way I would ever be caught in a hard wig because I'm not subjecting myself to the men that are attracted to hard wigs.
And that's a good point. I think my struggle would be just the oldness. Like I'm gonna have a problem when I don't know what age I'm gonna have to start talking to old men, but I'm just not there yet.
I don't think you ever are gonna have to talk to old men.
I mean, if these little young boys keep coming from my neck, I probably won't. Because I mean, the thought of being with someone who is a bald, fully gray, wrinkled, or needing Viagra just really gives me the ick. And they don't approach me anyway. I think I probably look too young. So there's that.
I feel like
Just saying.
I feel like they love a young girl. It's probably that they can sense that
My
you don't like
disgust.
them.
I don't.
I think that
I
they
don't.
don't get good vibes from you.
Ugh, the thought of it. I mean, I've never actually seen one in real life that I'm like, oh yeah, I'm so attracted to him.
You said it like it was not a human. Like you're like, I haven't seen one in real life.
There's a lot of people, types of people I've never seen in real life that I only see on the internet. And I'm like, are they real or is that AI? Because I've never seen you in real life.
Like what?
Fine men, tall and fine men with hair, with good jobs that are tatted.
I think that it's also, you mean they're cis, like heterosexual,
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Well, the gay
because
men. Yeah.
there's a lot of those gay men. I literally saw
Absolutely.
a
Yeah, that's
TikTok
true.
of all the attributes you just described, and they were all clearly gay. And I
This
was
is true.
like,
This is very true. Yeah, the straight men, they just don't care about how they dress. They don't care about how their hair looks. They don't care about how their breath smells. They don't care about a goddamn thing. And then they want to tell you that they're picky. I told you that man that one of the day would told me he's picky. He said, because he's picky. I sent you a picture.
looking like a fucking he. You know what the fuck he looked like?
Did he look like?
He looked like a person that just went through weight loss surgery and he rapidly lost weight, and
What?
his skin did not catch up with it. Like, his skin was so saggy in that photo.
Girl, and he had a gap in between each tooth and his breath was stank. And you telling me you're picky? I'm like, men really got some fucking audacity. In my next life, I better be a goddamn man. I want to be a gay man because they're rich and fabulous and fine and fit.
Yes.
Men have some fucking audacity.
They
As you look
really
me eye to
do.
eye after saying you were 6'1" on your profile.
And I literally cackled out loud in the grocery store when I received those text messages.
He wasn't even funny. Like, he wasn't even entertaining. Like, at least have a good personality.
I need to read you this message that a man sent his ex-wife as an example of the audaciousness
Please.
of men. Now, I would like to add, this is about a white woman, so there could be some truth to what he said, but it's also so crazy what he said. He said, "And last email before I go back to being successful again. I've always trusted my nose. When something does not smell right, I go in the opposite direction. I should have known by how foul you always smell that evil was always lurking in
Oh,
you.
whoa.
You are infected with an evil that comes out in zits, pimples, and blisters. The evil pus is drenched in your oily skin and makes you smell like shit. You sweat that evil out. You breathe it out with hot, smelly breath. You didn't just have morning breath. You had afternoon breath, evening breath, midnight breath."
God damn.
He's not done.
How do you even res I wouldn't even be able to respond. I'd be like, okay. I would just say okay. Because there's no responding to that.
"You farted worse than a 500-pound man who eats KFC all day. I used to come home and think I was in a hockey locker room, but no, just my wife. I
Damn.
never noticed the kitty litter because it was always an improvement over you. I used to think that it was your family that was stinky like that, but I was around them. They didn't stink like you, but then again, you're missing 50% of them."
Oh my God. I would call the police. That is a hate crime. That was a hate crime. That was violence.
He
That
is
was
mad.
violence. Ooh, child, see. And I bet
He's
they was
very
married for
mad.
that. I bet they was married for at least 10 years.
He was very mad. And you know, the white
God
women in the
damn.
comments is in an uproar.
Please send me that.
I'm gonna say
So I can read these comments. Oh my God.
it's
Oh,
crazy.
now I will say if there's any truth to that, she is trifling. Because why are you thinking like that?
Listen, that's what my thought was. I was like, this is so specific and he's so mad that it's giving it is true.
It's so specific. He took his time to break that shit down.
And this email had no subject, no greeting, and no goodbye. It just was exactly what I read to you.
Damn. Oh my God. But can I just say, I feel like when I see how white women hype each other up, they
Girl.
take no ownership over anything they potentially have done wrong
No, they
because
don't.
sometimes they be wrong as fuck. And
That's what my gut reaction was reading this too, because I was like, okay, I know that there's a likelihood that he is very unhinged and dangerous, but let's also like take a step back and ask ourselves why he's being so specific. Like, if there's one woman that needs to comment, it needs to be a non-white person to say, "But could you like let us know if there's any truth to what he's saying about you? Like, do you have a hygiene problem?" Because
do you
he's,
smell? Has anyone ever said you smell?
yeah. And she probably does. Like, literally, when I was on this train earlier this week, there was a woman sitting across from me that smelled like old earring bags. And she was dressed for work, clearly was Gen Z, dressed in a very trendy outfit, looked like a normal girl, but she smelled like earring bags because
Blech.
you don't
Ugh.
bathe.
I just got a chill because I know it smells disgusting.
It's so disgusting. And so I feel like insane.
Girl. Again, I just, is there some truth to it? Probably. And he was fed up because you don't want to wash your nasty, stinking coochie every day. Well, thanks for joining us for today's episode. We hope you
Yes.
guys enjoyed our ups and downs of the conversation as we yapped along about the bar for traveling while black and many other things as we tend to do. So,
All right, y'all. Bye.
bye.